In this episode of Middle East Files, the separation of Kurdistan from Iraq, a look at the attempts to partition Iraq for geopolitical incentives, who benefits from breaking down Iraq, why is Israel so eager for a Kurdish state, Kurdish statehood, an Israeli wish. In this edition of Middle East Files.
Of Middle East Files. I'm your host, Demis Harut. Iraqi Kurdistan and Baghdad dates back to over a millennium. Iraqi Kurdistan has become the center of global attention, mainly due to its natural resources.
In the 9th century, the cities and villages in and around the Zagros Mountains came under the rule of the Abbasid Caliphate in Baghdad. Since then, the map of the region has been redrawn many times, with the Iraqi Kurdistan region almost always falling within the larger regional entity of the time. In the 12th and 13th century, the Ayyubid dynasty ruled most of the Middle East. In the process, the much-famed Salahuddin al-Ayyubi liberated Jerusalem from occupation of the Crusaders. Salahuddin and the Ayyubids hailed from a Kurdish tribe and rose to prominence in the Iraqi cities of Tikrit and Mosul. The government methods changed with time, but the territorial integrity of Mesopotamia continued during the Safavid rule and later the Ottoman Empire. Things would change drastically in the early years of the 20th century. The rise of the British and French colonizers after World War I brought about new borders in the region. These borders were meant to serve the oil interests of the colonizers. The Treaty of Sèvres in 1920 suggested the creation of a Kurdish state that would cover areas in northern Iraq and in western Turkey. Instead, the European colonizers opted for the Sykes-Picot division of the Levant. Iraq and its current borders was part of the British mandate. The following decade would see uprising against the British rule in all of Iraq's major cities, from Mosul and Tikrit in the north to Baghdad and Basra in the south. Today, Iraqi Kurdistan is an autonomous region of Iraq. It spans 40,000 kilometers and is home to approximately 5 million people. The majority of the population are of different Kurdish origins. However, the region is also home to Arabs, Assyrians, Turkmens, Shabaks, and Yazidis. It is also worth noting that other regions of Iraq have significant Kurdish populations. Baghdad leads the way with residents of Kurdish descent. But it's not who inhabits the region that makes it the center of attention of global powers. Today, oil reserves there are worth $4.5 trillion.
Helping us further elaborate on Iraqi Kurdistan is Professor Sami Baroudi, and he's the author of The Islamic Perspectives on International Relations. What do Kurdish people then gain from the split from Iraq?
They gain and they lose. I mean, currently the status on paper of the Kurds in federal Iraq is quite good. I mean, they have the presidency of the republic, they have a quota of seats in parliament, they have quite a bit of autonomy. But the problem is what's on paper and the realities on the ground do not coincide, at least from their point of view.
Then who really benefits then from breaking up Iraq? I mean, if it's not people internally, is there any regional nations that might actually benefit from this move?
If there will be an independent Kurdistan, it's most natural ally is going to be Turkey. And it's not going to be an alliance of equals. Mm-hmm. Clearly, the Turks will have the upper hand in this alliance. So it could be that the Turks are thinking of a scenario where there will be kind of a client Kurdish state that's heavily dependent and heavily allied with Turkey. And that would serve quite a number of Turkish interests in the region.
Is this why then maybe Turkey's taken advantage of the situation? And recently we heard about, Kirkuk splitting up, and then therefore Kirkuk is very rich in oil as well. So is there then some oil interest?
I think Kirkuk is primarily a Kurdish interest. I mean, they have coveted that area for a long period of time. There is a Kurdish population along with the Arab population there. The demography, part of, their own scheme for a Kurdish state would involve Kirkuk. So Kirkuk is primarily important for the Kurds. And if it ends up, Iraq being partitioned and Kirkuk is part of this Kurdish state, clearly that will augment the resources of the state, and Kurdistan is going to be a landlocked country. So their only access to the sea, their only access to the rest of the world is probably going to be through Turkey.
Well, my question then here is, will a Kurdish state actually succeed, or do you think we're going to have powers who actually want to divide it into micro states, if you want?
That's a very, very good question, and it's really difficult to answer. It depends on a number of things. It depends on how independence is going to happen. If it happens in a peaceful way, not without much violence, then it's likely to be stable. If the current leader, Barzani, stays in power for a long period, he is stabilizing influence, he has charisma, he can play the role of a founding father of the new state. It depends on a number of things. Also, if the environment looks threatening, if there are problems with the Arabs because of Kirkuk, if there are problems with the central government in Baghdad, so these external fears will kind of play into rallying the Kurds behind the central government. Mm-hmm. We have to see whether some old factionalism will return. We have to see whether Islamic movements will accept, which is likely going to be a more of a secular or moderate Islamic Kurdish state. So one threat that state will have to face definitely are going to be the radical Islamist movements. So there will be a plethora of threats and problems. But already the situation is fairly threatening, and the Kurds may think that to deal with all these threats, they would need the authority of a state.
Iraq's neighbors have largely been against the division of Iraq. Even Kurds within Iraq are against the separation. However, it's the politicians of Erbil, whom are backed by the CIA and Mossad, who are pushing for an independent Kurdistan. When most Iraqis rose against British rule in the 1920s, a separatist clan leader by the name of Ahmad Barzani started calling for an independent Kurdish state. In 1931, he petitioned the League of Nations for an independent Kurdish state. Mustafa Barzani would follow in his footsteps in a failed attempt to secede from Iraq in 1945. Barzani was then exiled to Iran, where another separatist experiment failed in the short-lived Republic of Mahabad in 1946. Barzani returned to Iraq in 1958, following a military coup against the kingdom. The Barzani clan played a major role in Erbil's political scene for much of the 20th century.
In 1973, Barzani, backed by the CIA, Mossad, and the Shah of Iran, led another failed rebellion against the central Iraqi government. In 1975, Barzani and his Israeli-Kurdish alliance was defeated. A new rival party to the Barzanis emerged in Iraqi Kurdistan under the leadership of Jalal Talibani. Following the first Persian Gulf War in 1990, Iraqi Kurdistan became an autonomous region of Iraq. The elections of 1992 showed that the region was divided evenly between supporters of the Barizanis, now led by Masoud Barizani, and Talibani supporters. After the U.S. invasion and occupation of Iraq in 2003, Talibani and Barizani formed an electoral alliance known as the Kurdistani List. The Kurdistani List won a near-unanimous vote in the 2005 elections. The list had 104 of 111 seats in the Kurdish parliament. Since that election, however, opposition to the two-clan rule has been growing. In 2009, Barizani's and Talibani's parties combined to win only 59 seats, or 53% of the parliament. In the last elections in 2013, the share of those two parties dropped to 56 seats. Turkey, Syria, and Iran are all opposed to the division of Iraq. Turkish officials were quoted in the media saying that they stand for the territorial integrity and political unity of Iraq, even though Ankara has played a major role in brokering oil deals with Erbil that bypassed the central government in Baghdad. Iranian Foreign Minister Mohammad Javad Zarif called the Kurdish statehood scheme a Zionist plot. War-battered Syria sees the division of Iraq as setting precedent to further divisions in the region. These positions have raised concerns among Kurdish opposition and even within Talibani's PUK party. The Barizanis have a history of failed separation attempts. Will Masoud Barizani join his predecessors in failure, or can he succeed despite overwhelming opposition?
Shedding more light on the politicians of Erbil is Mr. Yazid Sayegh, and he's a senior associate at the Carnegie Middle East Center. Mr. Yazid, I want to begin with discussing the separation of Kurdistan from Iraq. You know, it's a reoccurring theme, if you want. But will it come to fruition this time around?
I think right now, Kurdistan is not yet approaching independence. The recent reference by the head of the Kurdistan regional government, Masoud Barzani, which hinted at independence coming a lot closer, I think was something aimed more at domestic politics. It's part of competition between different political factions within Kurdistan and with neighboring Kurdish communities in neighboring countries, and Barzani was simply playing politics, really. So I don't think this indicated that the Kurds are moving anywhere that soon to independence.
Well, what does then maybe a Kurdish state in Iraq, if you want, mean for other Kurdish communities in the region?
That's a good question, of course, because the Kurds extend across four countries: Iraq, Syria, a major number, the largest single number in Turkey, and then in Iran. Now, in reality, things are probably going to play out differently in these different Kurdish communities. The Kurds of Syria, for instance, have made it clear that they don't expect to move beyond autonomy within the Syrian state in the future. In Iran, the Kurdish movement is deeply divided. It's fragmented into numerous smaller parties, leftist, KDP, allied, and others, and therefore have basically lost their ability to negotiate with the central government of Tehran. We are left, therefore, only with two major forces: the Kurds of Turkey, who may be moving towards some sort of negotiated coexistence with the central government of Turkey in Ankara, which allows for maybe greater cultural autonomy, possibly some form of local administrative autonomy, but where they're playing down calls for total independence. And this leaves us with Iraqi Kurdistan, the one area which has exercised near independence for 20 years since the mid-1990s, when it became protected by the UN resolution from Baghdad's attacks under Saddam Hussein. They've managed their own affairs. They've instituted their own Kurdish language curricula. They use it in bureaucracy. There's a whole generation of young Kurds who don't speak Arabic anymore. And moreover, Kurdistan sits on a lot of proven oil reserves, which would allow it in the future to become financially independent. The Kurdish people are already split across four borders, and that's fragmented enough to already. I think realistically, if there's going to be greater independence or more even further autonomy, it's going to be in Iraqi Kurdistan, where on top of everything else, there is a lot of proven oil reserves. Now, these oil reserves could be brought into production relatively quickly if there is enough assurance of the ability of the Kurdish government in the north of Iraq to then export that oil either via Syria, which right now looks a bit difficult, of course, or via Turkey by building new pipelines, because the existing one that the Kurds control in the north going to Turkey lacks the capacity to export as much as they would need to. Their budget relies almost entirely on oil income, which they receive from Baghdad. They would have to replace that budget that comes from Baghdad by selling their own oil directly to outside markets. That means more pipelines. So it's going to take a number of years to drill the fields and get them into production, and a number of years to get the new pipelines built. But if the money is there, this can all be done quickly. In fact, by some estimates, Kurdistan, Iraqi Kurdistan, could become financially viable and self-sufficient in terms of oil production and export for revenue by the year 2020. In other words, in only 6 years from now.
Forming a Kurdish state that would be Israeli-friendly has been a long-time goal for the United States and Israel. Israeli media and officials have always praised the move, describing it as an inevitable measure. Outgoing Israeli President Shimon Peres told U.S. President Barack Obama on June 25th that Iraq couldn't be kept together and asked for support for Kurdish independence. The next day, Israeli Foreign Minister Avigdor Lieberman told U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry that the establishment of an independent Kurdish state was inevitable. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said, quote, "We have to support the independence aspirations of the Kurds." This is in 2014. Let's rewind to 2013. Jonathan Speier of Israel's Herzliya Center writes, "Say it again, Kurdish independence now." The Times of Israel headlines, "Is a free Kurdistan and a new Israeli ally upon us?" 2012, a headline in Israel's Jerusalem Post reads, "Will Barzani declare independence?" 2010, Jerusalem Post again highlights the potential of an Israeli ally in de facto Kurdistan. In fact, Israeli obsession with the separation of Iraqi Kurdistan from Iraq is as old as the Barzani's efforts. The relationship between Mustafa Barzani, Mas'ud's father, and the Mossad is well documented. The Zionist project, since its inception, has been a proponent of dividing the Middle East along ethnic and religious borders. The creation of such states would legitimize Israel as a Jewish state. The plan to divide Iraq and create a Kurdish state goes back to the 1920 Treaty of Sèvres, a strategy paper penned by Richard Perley and other Washington neocons in 1996 put this issue as top priority for the U.S. and Israel. The paper titled "A Clean Break, A New Strategy for Securing the Realm," openly called for regime change and reconstructing power in the Middle East, starting with Iraq.
The plan was put into action when neocon President George Bush reached power. During the 2006 Israeli war on Lebanon, U.S. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice spoke of the birth of a new Middle East. A map published in the U.S. Armed Forces Journal in June 2006 illustrates the Middle East dreamt up by the U.S. Israel hopes the states of a new Middle East will provide it with much-needed allies in the region. In fact, Israel has already made business investments in northern Iraq. On February 28, 2013, Yadot Ahronot reported on a secret plan to build an Israeli dairy farm in the Kurdish-controlled part of Iraq. This past June, a tanker loaded with an illegal shipment of oil from northern Iraq docked at an Israeli airport. Secrecy still shrouds these business dealings between the Barzani-led Kurdish regional government and Israel. Both parties are eager to bring them out in the open. Further discussing the Kurdish split is retired Army General Mr. Hisham Jaber. General Hisham Jaber, if Kurdistan were to split from Iraq, how would that affect regional countries?
It will affect all neighbor countries. First of all, if Kurdistan will split from Iraq, will create an independent state, that means the partition of Iraq started by creating that country. Second step, Iraq will be divided into two countries, Shia country and Sunni country. Mm-hmm. And the partition of Iraq, of course, will create the partition or provoke the partition of Syria and, of course, partition of Iraq, and also will move into Lebanon and Jordan. And, of course, it will threaten Turkey. Look at this map and you see that it's not Kurdistan, actual Kurdistan. This is the greatest Kurdistan where they dream and they are planning to create the greatest Kurdistan. If you see, this Kurdistan is taking a part of Syria, this part of Syria. Also, it will take part of Turkey. It will threaten Iran, it's on the borders of Iran. And of course, the rest of Iraq will be divided into two states. It's very dangerous. To be fair and to be honest, the Kurds, throughout the history, we always said the Kurds are a nation without land, and they have the right to have their own homeland. But having to have their own homeland is one thing, and having a state, a large state, which will threaten the unity of other countries is different, is another thing. Very dangerous step.
Well, let's speak then about Israel. I mean, is Israel in need of an ally here? That's why it continues to maybe praise the division of Kurdistan into an independent state.
Yes, mm-hmm. For two major reasons. First of all, to create a state in Kurdistan, it will give Israel kind of legitimacy or legality, you know, mm-hmm. historical legitimacy, that there is another state like Israel will be created in the region. Second, the relationship between the Kurds and Israel has been connected for decades. Mm-hmm. Third, the creation of such a state, you know, here, that means they will divide, you know, it will Iraq into three states, and will divide Syria, will divide Lebanon, will divide Jordan. That means the new Middle East, which was planned by Condoleezza Rice, will be created. The new Middle East will have tiny states, including Kurdistan, and around Israel, and Israel will be the biggest and the most powerful state in the region. For those reasons, I think Israel is making a lot of effort to encourage and to help the Kurds to create that state. But in my opinion, the Kurds must be more wise, not to make that mistake, because they have historical relation with their neighbors, and they should not be part of the plot and conspiracy to divide the region.
Historical relations between some Kurdish factions and Israel go back to the early days of the Zionist project. Interestingly enough, redrawing the Middle East map can be traced back to the days of British colonialism. Today, Israel's at the forefront of making such projects succeed. Thanks so much for watching this edition of Middle East Files. I'll see you next time. Goodbye.